Hello, everyone. We are going to do weekly Q&A with me, Corinne, right now. Let me get everything situated and going here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this call so that for all the newbies, you know what's happening and all those kinds of things. So weekly Q&A is done in the Facebook group. It's a call that it's usually me. Every now and then I travel and stuff. So sometimes you'll get the delight and the pleasure of another coach who will host a Q&A. What we do is we go through and curate some of the most frequently asked questions from the past week from Ask Coaches, people emailing into support, and the Facebook group. So we like to prune them down to a really good 5 or 6 questions that I can answer that's going to be the most beneficial for everyone. So because so many of you are new, let's talk about the etiquette for the Q&A calls. Number one, if you're listening live and you have not made your 24-hour plan yet, you are to get out of Facebook. You should never be in Facebook before your 24-hour plan is made. In fact, mine is still sitting in the other room where I made it this morning. But you should never be in Facebook, ever, until you have decided how you want to think, feel, eat, and show up for yourself every day. You should never be in Facebook reading what somebody else's life is like until you know your whys, your goals, how you're going to show up for yourself, what you're committed to every single day. I promise you, there is nothing fucking going on Facebook more important than those things. So we always make our plan first. Second, if you're listening to the replay, and you're like, whoop, I made a plan, then you need to stop. You need to stop the video, or you need to push pause on the podcast player, depending on are you listening to audio or are you watching me? Because if you're watching me, I'm staring you in the face. But if you're listening to me, you're hearing my shrill ass voice. You need to stop. I don't care if it's midnight. Make a plan for tomorrow. Make sure you've assessed your plan for the day. Do not consume more information and no BS. Unless you're doing something with the information in no BS. So step one is always we have the 24-hour plan made. Your doable plan. All right. The other thing you need to know is that you are going to take one thing from this class and you're going to do it. We don't listen to jack shit in no BS. We don't listen to another call. We don't do anything unless we have listened to something and we've actually said, here's how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, and where I'm going to do it. And I'm going to keep doing that until I figure out how to get good at it. And I'm not going to whine, and I'm not going to complain, and I'm not going to tolerate bullshit excuses from myself. I'm not going to tell myself I'm overwhelmed. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Corinne always tells me I'm supposed to pick one thing, and I'm supposed to do how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, and where I'm going to do it. That eliminates overwhelm. Because if you actually do that, here's what's the trick about overwhelm. Overwhelm is sitting around thinking about all the things you have to do, or all the things you think you should do, or all the things you think you can't do. That's how overwhelm is felt. And when we feel overwhelmed, guess what we do? We don't do anything. We just keep thinking about all the things we should, have to, or need to do. So if you actually want to be someone who's like, I'm really sick and tired, Corinne, of being overwhelmed all the time. I really would like to become one of those people that does things. Then every time you're consuming something from me, you pick one thing. I don't care if it's drink water. That's what you do. All right. Next and finally is if you're brand new, these calls are your extras. They are not part of the course. The No BS Weight Loss course is on the website. The fucking button's big. It's the most landscape I ever give the website. It's on the menu. It's on the front page. It's called No BS Weight Loss Course. All the modules, all the lessons are there for you. You need to go through them one at a time. You never listen to these calls at the expense of No BS. Ever. I don't care if you're new. I don't care if you've been here 2 years. If you've been here for a year, you need to listen again. If it's been a year since you listened to No BS, sounded like reboot, guys. I don't care if you're successful or not. We change an OBS regularly. Most of you miss it because you're like, oh, I'm just beyond an OBS. But I'm so plateaued. I'm so stalled. No, you're not. You're not listening to an OBS. You're not listening to it with these ears. You're not listening for what you didn't hear the first time or what you may have forgotten. So let's make sure that we're not listening to shit like this, consuming lots of content, self-developing like son of a bitch, but not implementing, not doing the things I tell you to, not making any plans. If you're not doing those things, yeah, no, you're not going to lose weight. Plain and simple. So at some point, you've got to decide, what's more important? My attachment to my misery that I can't do it? My attachment to thinking that it's too hard, too time-consuming to make a plan, too confusing? If you want to stay attached to that story, there will be no weight loss. At some point, you have to be attached to the idea of, I'm just going to do what Corinne says. It's probably going to feel gross because right now, I'm feeling like I can't do it. But I'm sick and tired of proving to myself day in and day out that I can't. I'm ready to prove to myself it might not be as bad as I'm making it. All right. That's my preach. Now, for all of you, this is a Q&A, which means nobody's coming on screen. This is just me live. I also do a coaching call every week. They're on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Central as of right now. They do change periodically, but we just switched over to Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Central time. Coaching calls to bring people up. I'm a little less passionate. I'm more, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't do as much yelling. Q&A, though, y'all need to watch out. Q&A, you come in hot. I'm the only person that's talking, and I'm yelling, and I usually end up breaking out in sweat by the end of it, and it is all the things. So let's buckle up. I got my questions. I even made notes to know what the hell I wanted to, like, to try to stay on some track today. Question number one. I'm new. I can't figure myself. I can't imagine myself getting on the scale until I feel like I've made some progress. I don't see myself ever wanting to take a before picture or take my measurements. Do you have members who have avoided this whole thing? I do have members that avoided it, but here's the problem. When you avoid weighing in, when you avoid weighing in, when you avoid taking your measurements, when you avoid looking at pictures, all you do is become a skillful artist at ignoring things. You really learn how to become a good hider. You learn how to not be able to take in data and figure out how you want to think about it. That's why I never like advise you guys to be really good avoiders. What we want to teach you is how to get on the scale and get on the scale like a boss. We want to teach you how to be able to take measurements and know that you're ready for change versus, oh my God, I've done this to myself and all the other horseshit that we like to say. We want to teach you how to actually do those things in a way where you don't have to allow yourself to have a self-esteem punch fest. So, yeah, there are some people in the beginning who do avoid weighing in, who don't in the very beginning because they haven't learned how to manage their mind yet. But we don't do this for the long haul. So what we have is we've got in module 2 of No BS, you guys are going to, basically what you're going to do in module 2 is learn that what you weigh, the pictures you see of yourself, your measurements, all of that kind of like your stats on how much you, like if you're using the planner, the habit tracker, the stats, you're going to learn that all of that is just stuff happening in the world outside of you. And then as you look around and you take in those things, all of us have opinions and judgments and mental filters we run them through. And so the skill that you're going to learn in module 2 is to learn how to listen to what you naturally interpret it as. What do you make it mean, your weight? What do you make it mean when you see your pictures? What is the first sentences that come to your mind? What we do is we teach you how to capture those sentences that are already happening in your unconscious brain. What we want to do is we want to actually look at them. We want to inspect them. We want to see what our self-concept is that runs in the background that's sabotaging our life, causing us to eat, causing us to do self-destructive behaviors. Because once we see them, what we get to do is use the conscious part of our brain to overwrite those things. A lot of us, when we see like a picture of ourselves or we see our weight or something, our brain, the first thing it's going to do is say something like, you know, you're disgusting. You should never have let yourself get this way. You better do something now or you're going to regret it later. Like, we have lots of thoughts that come up. Each one of those thoughts feels a certain way. And the more negative those thoughts feel, the more likely you are to self-sabotage, self-destruct, avoid, isolate, hide, eat, not try, procrastinate, and do a lot of things that just keep proving your own thoughts true. And we want to break the cycle of you proving the old thoughts true. And what we want to do is think very deliberately, very consciously about how we want to start thinking about ourselves so that we can start feeling more motivated, excited, committed, calm, at peace, willing, determined. Because when we feel those things, we do not procrastinate. We try things. We experiment more. We actually do shit Corinne says. There are lots of things that we start, like we're not needing to eat because we feel so bad about ourselves. We start removing triggers to overeat because we're removing language that we use in the subconscious without watching. And when we start removing them on purpose and changing them, we start getting more authority over stuff. All right. So let me finish the question. I don't want to cry thinking about all the ways I've let myself down for years. That's the thought that I'm talking about. So when you weigh or measure, your brain is like, okay, now we need to, what this number means, what these measurements mean, what these pictures mean, which clothes fit and don't fit in my closet mean, is that you've let yourself down all these years by doing these things, by whatever. So when you are feeling threatened and blamed, yelled at internally, you won't be motivated to do things that you need to do. Just like a lot of you will take away the scale for fear that you can't manage your mind around it rather than learning how to manage your mind. But when you take away the scale, you also take away a valid piece of feedback that just helps you fine tune things that you do. We don't want to take away those things. What we want to do is we want to build better relationships with ourselves around those things. I think I'll be able to neutralize the number once I get comfortable taking care of myself for a while. I think one of the notes that I made that I really want to leave everybody here with on this one is right now, a thought that a lot of you can have if you're scared of the scale, you're scared of your measurements, and you're scared of taking pictures. I am okay that if for the first month, you prefer not to do that. But I do not want you doing it because you're too scared. I want you doing it from the mindset of this first month, I won't be weighing, I won't be taking pictures, and I won't be doing measurements because I'm going to track like a boss the things I do for myself this month. I will have a fully completed habit tracker. And I want you to tell yourself all month long, I'm open to believing that I can manage my mind around the scale one day. Because what we got to do is we have to quit telling ourselves that we can't. We have to quit telling ourselves that like we're scared of the scale. We have to quit saying those things. Otherwise, we just keep believing it. The only way to ever believe new things, the only way to ever become someone else, you literally have to start telling yourself new stuff so that your brain has something new to believe. Thoughts only feel believable because they get repeated with no counter arguments. That's what makes them feel true. But just because something feels true doesn't mean it is. It just means you've repeated it often enough to where you didn't argue anything else. Now, one last comment on this. And this is just from me to you, as someone who has lost a lot of weight. One of the biggest regrets that I have, and I don't sit around in regret over this, but when I think about all of you, in my mind, your weight loss is as good as done. You're here learning to do it in a different way. I really believe that if I could do it, anybody can. And I also have worked with so many different people of all kinds of backgrounds who have lost weight. So it is not like you're different. I promise you, I was watching somebody the other day in the 100 pounds or more group lose. She just knew she was the only person with over 200 pounds to lose. Not only was she not the only one with 200 pounds to lose, but there were people in the group who had lost over half of that weight, well on their way. And some of our success stories have lost like over 150 pounds. We always want to tell ourselves, especially when we're scared we can't do something, one of the things that we do to protect ourselves so that we don't feel so scared is to start telling ourselves, yeah, well, it's because we're different. And we're different because of these reasons. What that does is that makes us feel sad or defeated, because the brain would rather feel sad or defeated than it would to feel risk, chance, and scared. To change your life, it requires you to take action when you feel scared. The easy thing to do is to isolate yourself, decide that it can't happen for you, because there's a sense of relief if you convince yourself that you can't do it. It means you don't have to think about doing it anymore, because every time you think about it, the fear comes up like, well, what if I fail? What if I do this? The trick is not to give up on the idea or to keep sitting and thinking that you can't do it. The trick is when your brain starts thinking like, what if I fail? What if I don't? They say like, all right, I think I've probably, like, here's my advice. Most of you have probably spent a lifetime thinking about what if you fail and all the ways that you can't do it. Now, we don't need to do that part anymore. We've done our homework on our failure path. Let's stop trying to get an A in the class of how fucked up I am and how I'll never make it to what I want to weigh. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to think about, what if I do succeed? Is this easier than what I'm making it right now? If it was going to be easy this week, here's what I would be doing. If I believed in myself, here's the shit I wouldn't be telling myself. Here's the shit I'd already be doing. If I wasn't afraid of failure, what would I be doing this week? That's the questions to journal on in your planners. And so I say all this because I regret not having more pictures. I regret not knowing what my true starting weight was. The version of me that started did not think she'd lose all of her weight. The version of me that started just wanted to get started. It's not that I did it wrong, but my future self also, I know it was well over 250, but I always say 250 because it's the last number I remember seeing on the scale. And it had been a while since I had weighed in. And let me just tell you, I wasn't exactly on the healthy train. I have hardly any pictures of myself. And I don't say that because I just want more before pictures. But when I look back on my baby and that first year that Chris and I were together, I don't have pictures of our relationship. I don't have moments of me playing and holding Logan. Regardless of what my body looks like, you can't imagine how much I would love to have those pictures now. I don't have a lot of pictures with my grandparents. I just hid from things for so long. And guys, I hid from stuff because I didn't know at the time how to be nice to myself. I always thought taking pictures triggered me. And what I wish is I would have let it trigger me more and then change the conversation and start learning how to like myself so much faster. And when I lost weight, that was the big difference. For all you newbies that are here, I didn't start loving myself after I lost weight. It started in the beginning with me recognizing there was conversations that I could not afford to have with myself anymore because they left me feeling hopeless, stuff in my face, laid out on the couch, and feeling defeated in life. And when I started changing those conversations, it was so much easier to start doing a few things that were better. I took the pressure off myself. So for all of you that are here, just take the pictures, weigh in, even if you don't look at them, and just say, one day my future self will thank me. But if you decide not to, it's not wrong either. I just want you to be open up to the idea that you do not have to talk to yourself like an asshole over all of this. You get to tell yourself, I'm ready for the next stage of my life. I'm ready to start learning how to love myself. This is the first step to repairing the relationship with myself and food. Those conversations can also happen with your starting stats, your photos, and your pictures. It doesn't have to be a beatdown. I am new. Is it normal for me to subconsciously battle this new way of thinking? It's like my mind is afraid of change. Any advice? It's very normal. So I'm going to pimp module 2 one more time. Module 2 of No BS is where the think, feel, do cycle happens. Let me tell all of you. I always call module 2 where life begins to change. Okay? This is where new perspective happens. You start realizing so many of us, and I'll make this real clear real quick. So many of us lose weight, and yet we never really feel better about ourselves. We might, you know, enjoy getting new clothes, get surprised that we're tiny. We might have some thoughts like that. But a lot of us, what happens is we'll lose some weight, and we will be, it's almost sad because we get there and we realize now we're just worried we'll regain it. We're terrified of food. We're walking around basically feeling the same way we did when we were overweight. We just aren't beating ourselves up over our weight. But the rest of it, we're still doing. And it feels like shit. It's like you get let down at the idea of I'm going to lose weight. And then I'm also going to lose, like, now I'm going to feel free around food. And I'm never going to worry about my weight again and stuff. And it doesn't happen unless you learn how to change your conversation on the way down the scale. Like, just like in our last question, if you don't learn how to talk to yourself about measurements and photos and your weight, you lose your weight. If you're used to picking yourself apart in photos at 250 pounds, you'll weigh 150 and you'll be like, it's great that I lost weight, but gosh, I've got all that loose skin. You will downregulate yourself. Your brain is in the habit of nitpicking, not going like sassy beast over and over again. That's what happened to me. There were parts of my journey that I didn't solve on the way down, and I had to solve it in maintenance. And I will just tell all of you, it sucks to lose all of your weight and not enjoy the fuck out of yourself 24/7. I will tell you, I even coached someone yesterday. All she wanted to do was lose 50 pounds. She's on the call crying, talking about how she's not as happy as she thought she would be. I coach people routinely in this group. I always say, everybody take a moment. I want you to look at this face. She's lost every ounce of weight that she wants to lose, and she's getting coached because she's terrified of this. She's afraid of that. She's relationships haven't gotten better. the weight doesn't solve things. But what I'm going to teach you in module two is how do we start changing and shifting our thinking? Because for the rest of our life, we are going to experience times where shit hits the fan. People don't like us. Stuff goes wrong. People are going to die in our lives. All kinds of things. And we have to learn emotional flexibility so that when those things happen, we don't go right back to eating. Go back to the thing that worked in the past. That's why a huge component of No BS is for me to teach you module two. So module two is the think-feel-do cycle. You do have a lot of unconscious programming. And when you journal and do the think-feel-do cycle around all of the things going on, also in the planner, I ask you questions that help you with this. This is how you start unwinding it. And what happens is you notice the further along you go in No BS, usually by about month three or four, your brain is not fighting things so much. Your brain is getting, there was someone I coached on the Sunday call, Tuesday night call. It was, I don't know what today's date is. What is today's date? So it's the 6th, April 6th of 2021 for history, who we were talking about like how long it takes for things to change and stuff. And normally for you guys, what you want to get to is what this lady had happened, which is as she was talking, I could tell she was doing her journaling and I could tell she's been doing her work around this stuff. Because every time she would try to tell me a problem, it's like, well, I really don't want to think about it like that. That's where we want to get to. It's not that you never think shit thoughts. You'll always think shit thoughts. It's just the way the brain works. But in module two, what we do is we start introducing the idea of how to bring more of your unconscious programming up so that in the beginning, it doesn't feel like you're like telling yourself a bunch of shit you don't believe. In the beginning, a lot of it will feel that way. And that's okay. That's called the newbie stage of it. Our job is to get those super aware of what we are thinking, not judge it, and start redirecting our mind to better thinking for ourselves. So many of you are going to get an immense ton of relief just learning how to do that. You may never have to go deeper with any thought work. That one skill, if we could teach humanity that, it'd be so different. So, but what ends up happening is after about 3 or 4 months, of doing a planner each day, answering my questions, journaling when you need it, and that kind of thing, you start noticing that as you're talking, you're catching yourself saying shit and being like, ew, I don't want to say it that way. And you'll start auto-correcting yourself. That's where we want to get to. That's where you're really like, you're in the 90% ninja world. So, like, for all of you who are thinking about, like, how do you get to where you're like you, Corinne, where, like, y'all consider me a thought ninja? You just get to the point to where you're so good at listening to yourself. You hear yourself when you say things. You start changing how you're talking in lifetime. You also get to the point to where you get really aware of when you're thinking something that's, we call it old shitty around here. And you know it doesn't have power over you, that your sentences don't have to have power. Your sentences literally can just be sentences. And you just be like, that's not one I'm even going to operate on. I'm just going to do this anyway. That's what we're trying to get you to. We're not trying to erase all of your negative thinking. We're trying to get you to take authority more consciously over your thinking and lay out your thinking for the day. One of the things that I learned this through John Acuff's new book, Soundtracks. One of the things that we forget about is that, you know, each day when we go, like, let's say you're going to go to the gym tomorrow. We're all going to go work out. A lot of us who work out regularly, we eat well. If you're like me, you sleep in your workout clothes. I like to have zero barrier to entry to get my ass to work out. So I just sleep in all the workout clothes. Some of us lay our workout clothes, lay them out ahead of time. Some of us pack lunches. We do, like, for our kids and stuff. We spend so much time figuring out how to make life easier in those little things. And the one thing we don't do is, like, wake up in the morning and lay out our thoughts for the day. Go through and be like, oh, this is not one I really want to be carrying around for the day. What else could I be thinking? Like, what obstacles am I going to face today? And what can I do and think about those that will be helpful? Taking some time first thing in the morning to just think through those things is money. Not only in your weight loss, but in just changing your work life, your relationships and stuff. So when you use the planner, I already take you through what's called obstacles and strategies. Every single day, I'm going to ask you about, like, what's likely to get into your way? What excuses are you likely to use? We're asking you those questions each day so that you can lay out your food thoughts ahead of time for the day. And for those of you that need to work on a relationship, a boss, how you want to think about your work, how you want to think about anything going on in your life, your body for the whole day, you can turn to the back of the journaling or the planner where the journal pages are, and you can write down the thoughts you're currently thinking and then lay out the thoughts that you want to have for your day. This lights your brain up into the direction you want to go. It starts trying to create that life for you. Because right now, when you don't change, your brain operates off of your thinking. And so when you are just letting that subconscious, unconscious thinking happen without any interventions, without any kind of direction from you and your conscious brain, your brain goes to work all day long on proving your subconscious thoughts true. It filters out everything but whatever will prove what you're believing true. I will give you an example. A lot of you are working on stopping at enough. One person who thinks that weight loss is really hard and they don't decide to, like, all right, today what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, really search out all the easy ways that I, like, what are all the easy ways I can lose weight today? And how many times a day can I find that weight loss is getting easier for me? So you have that version, and you have the other person who's like, well, it's another day. Hope I make it through it. You know, losing weight is so hard for me. I've never really been able to do it before, but I'm willing to try. So you've got that person. The person who's willing to try, it's never been easy for them. It's going to be hard and all this other stuff. They'll go through the day, and at dinner, they'll eat past enough. And here's what their reaction will be. Their brain will need to prove that weight loss is hard. So it will immediately go like, fuck me. Like, I'm never going to get this enough thing. I didn't even slow down. Like, I said I was going to do it this morning. I didn't even do it. Blah, blah, blah. Immediately, it triggers a beatdown mode. And a lot of times on a beatdown mode is triggered. What's next? Fuck it mode. It's like, well, fuck this. If I blew it tonight, I might as well eat some ice cream. I didn't really plan it, but I'll just get started again tomorrow. That was your brain saying, what I need to do is I need to find all the incidences today where weight loss is hard, always difficult for me, and how I fail. Then you're going to have no BS woman number two, who is like, you know, I'm going to do this. I've laid out my obstacles and strategies. I'm going to try to figure out all the ways that I can find ease in the process today. So she's eating dinner. And she notices she's ate past enough. And here's her conversation, because she's looking for how weight loss can be easy. She's going to say, ooh, I'm going to note what I'm thinking right now. I want to know the words that got me to do that. And when I'm done, like, I'm going to go ahead and finish now. Because there's no sense in eating more. I can easily stop right now. And then this will give me something to work on tomorrow. This will be my next best decision, will be to stop eating, not make this a big deal, and move on. This feels so much easier than what it was in the past. And guess what? When she does that, she's not sitting around eating ice cream all night long because she needs to get rid of all of it because she's got to get serious tomorrow. That's how it works. Same situation, but when someone has a mindset tuned to figure out what they want to create versus someone who's not fine-tuning their mind and just allowing the old unconscious to run in the background, that's where it starts getting different. All of that is going to be in module 2. It goes into great detail. I'm a newbie. I've gotten into a bad habit of snacking at night with some Netflix, usually mindlessly. How do we replace the habit? One of the things you want to do when you're replacing the habit is you've got to come up with something that's equally as mindlessly to do. So when you are going to stop eating with Netflix, you do not need to plan like clean out my drawers, hit a toilet, meditate, and all this other stuff. Unless meditation or something floats your boat, what I would do is think about, all right, when I'm eating and watching Netflix, I'm doing it to relax. So whatever I do, if it's watch Netflix, I need to talk to myself in a way that relaxes me, which a lot of you will go into it saying things like, you know, you can't have that. You shouldn't be having urges. You know, you need to quit thinking this way. That's not relaxing. So like sitting there and saying like, you know, we're not going to eat snacks tonight. I bet it won't be that big a deal. If I have urges, I'm just going to remind myself I can plan snacks for tomorrow night and I can enjoy them tomorrow night. But tonight I'm going to try them. That's a more relaxing conversation. The other thing is you can also, like what I prefer you guys to do is do it that way first. To just prove to yourself, it may not be as bad as you think it is to watch Netflix without food. A lot of times it's our imagination. It's like, well, I'm going to be so hungry and I'm just going to sit there and I'm just going to suffer with urges. A lot of times, you guys, when you finally try some shit, you're like, oh, it's not nearly as bad as I thought. Because if you don't argue with yourself, you don't sit there and think about how deprived you are. If you just sit there and say, like, we're enjoying Netflix tonight without food in our mouth. Tomorrow night, if we want to eat something, we'll put it on our plan. When you take away depriving, restricting, punitive self-talk, when you start the Netflix, when your mouth waters and you just want to eat something, it's easy to talk yourself out of it. Because you haven't jacked yourself up like a son of a bitch. So that's the way that I want you to do it, just to kind of give yourself some evidence of what it is actually going to be like. And you plan it. And you're just like, I'm going to be watching Netflix tonight. Here's how I'm going to enjoy it. When the urges start, here's the things I calmly want to remind myself of. I'll write them down on some stickies. I'll have it next to me so that I don't forget. For a lot of you, I would also encourage that wherever you normally watch Netflix, sit somewhere else. Don't sit in your favorite chair where you always eat. If you eat in the bed, get on the other side of the bed. Arrange your covers in a new way. Do anything that you can to let your brain feel like something different is happening. Because the brain, when it starts its normal routine, it's going to want all of its normal routine. It's just doing what it's designed to do. You're not broken or you're not unable to lose weight. Your brain is just responding in its natural designed way. Now, second option is to put whatever you normally eat with Netflix on your plan as you do it. If it's a sleeve of Oreos normally, you put the sleeve of Oreos down. If it's a bag of chips, you put the bag of chips. If it's a bowl of fruit, I don't care what it is. You go ahead and you put it on your plan. If you actually want to break your Netflix habit, you don't get to have that food with Netflix. You separate the two. It's like, we're going to watch Netflix, but if we're going to eat, it will be at the kitchen table. I will be eating what I normally eat without being able to zone out with Netflix. Because what we want to do in that particular situation is we want to have the food with all of your judgment, all of your worry that you can't lose weight eating like this, like all of those thoughts that drown out when you watch Netflix and you overeat, there's a part of you on the inside. There's just like, here's little mini me who really wants to lose weight, who is screaming like, oh my God, if you eat Oreos every single night and a whole sleeve, we're never going to lose weight. What are you doing? She's like begging for your attention. You're like, fuck that bitch. She's trying to get me off my game. I'm going to turn on some Netflix because I don't want to hear her. She's the one we need to be hearing. She's the reasoning. She's like, dreams, goals, sister. I'm the one thinking about them. You should listen. Sometimes she comes across like an a-hole. But we can recondition her voice to not be so shrilly. But a lot of times that voice is an a-hole because we've spent so much time Netflixing and so much time doing other stuff while we eat to drown her out. And she's trying at a volume 10. So that first time you sit down at the kitchen table with your usual woo-hoo food that you Netflix out on, I'm going to venture to say for the vast majority of you, it's going to suck. You're going to be like, well, I don't want to do it that way, Chris. I'm not even enjoying it. It's like, that's the whole fucking point. You already know it's a snacking behavior that you're only doing to avoid life. This is your real life. Your real life wants you to lose weight. Your real life gets a say-so. So, yeah. It probably won't be as fun, and that's what we want to see. We want to hear it. And what we want to do is like say, all right, maybe we don't need a sleeve. Maybe I just want a couple of Oreos each night. I'm going to figure out how to put those on the plan because at two Oreos, I'm okay. And eventually you wean off of that stuff. But the problem comes is when you guys don't want to hear the chatter. You got to be willing to hear the chatter. We can recondition her voice. When she starts getting to be able to talk, you can recondition the voice for her not to yell at you that, you know, you're a loser. You're never going to lose weight for eating this. She could change her voice to, are we sure we really want Oreos? We probably really want our goals. And that's why you're yelling at me right now. And I appreciate that you're trying your best. I'm open to listening now. So now what I want to do is I want to sit down every single night and look at these foods and have a real honest conversation with myself about what I want out of life, what I'm most afraid of, how hard am I willing to work for it, what parts of my self-talk am I willing to start giving up so that I can have the things I truly want. Maybe these Oreos aren't it tonight. That's when real change around food starts happening. I just joined and today was my first day of writing my 24-hour plan. Good for you. I was a solid 8 as I left for work. Fast forward to when an incident happened. I always love the way when people say there was this incident where something happened and she had planned to go out for lunch. That cannot happen now. It's so dramatic. It's like we have an incident that happens. It's like, no, I plan to go out for lunch. I'm not going out for lunch today. So what am I going to eat? That's called the boring version of the story. But here's her version. An incident happened and I couldn't go out to lunch as planned. Exclamation point. At home, I started mindlessly eating chocolates and Tootsie Rolls. This mindless eating continued when I got home after work. At dinner, I felt myself racing to the finish. And before I knew it, the plate was empty. And mental junk. I know there is a learning curve and I have years of diet trauma and mental junk to unravel. But I'm feeling disappointed in myself for not sticking to my plan on the first day, looking for ways to stop the mindless stress relieving eating from happening. Right? You don't, nobody in here needs tips on how to stop mindlessly eating when it comes to stress. That is the wrong question. I love you, my little newbie, but here's how it works. What we want to do is we want to unwind the stress of our plan not going as expected. So that we don't have all of our mental chatter about, oh, never be able to lose weight. Oh, my God, it's day one. I can't even follow the plan. Blah, blah, blah. I guarantee that that's what happened. I bet if we knew when that plan changed and you couldn't go out to lunch as planned, that you either had a sawn-ass pity party because wherever you were going, you were going to enjoy what you were going to have. And maybe where you're at, you weren't going to be able to have all that pleasure you had decided. Or you had a delightful salad, and then you're at work, or you're going to have to make do or something. There was story there, not only around the food and what you weren't going to get to do, and and then you got this other story that likely came up too. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go lean on my years of experience as how most of us react. Then we're just like, oh, my God, I can't follow my plan. I bet I won't lose weight this weight. This is terrible. If I can't get today right, I'll probably never be able to lose weight. Ah, like that's what we do. And we wonder why we want to eat chocolate eggs all afternoon. It's like, yeah, because if we just let all that drama go, guess what we do? We eat so we don't have to hear all that. That's what some people will tell me. I don't know what kind of bitch fit I was throwing in my brain. So I was too busy overreacting to my plan being able to change. So I just ate all afternoon to make sure I heard nothing. Guys, get aware of these things. Notice when you're doing this. And then calm yourself down and say, if I wasn't making this a huge fucking deal, what would my next decision be? It doesn't even have to be the next best decision. Just what is my next decision? When you guys feel the anxiety, the panic, the stress, the whatever bubble up in you when it comes to your food plans changing, not going the way you thought, eating past enough, you need to ask yourself in that moment, so like, I'm going to break. I will tell all of you, do this. I taught it last night in coaching. Do the circular breathing method. I want you to, before you do anything, when you feel those feelings, I want you to breathe in for 6 seconds or breathe in for 4 seconds. So then you're going to hold for 2. And you're going to release for 6. And then you're going to do that 5 times. 1, that's going to stop the shit fucking spiral that your brain is going into, that you can't lose weight. All that happens is when things don't go as planned for right now, especially in the new stages. And this actually happens through, we got elders here who have this. It's tapping that self-sabotage belief that you can't do it, that it won't work for you, that it's very hard for you, that your life is too busy, too unstructured. Well, I'm a doctor. Well, I work the third shift. Well, I have children. I have no children. I have no one to cook for. I have everybody to cook for. I'm taking care of my parents. My parents don't love me, and I never get to speak to them. Everybody has a story, and every single person, for the excuse they're using, that when they use their life as an excuse, you've got somebody else over here with the exact opposite life who is fucking using that as their excuse too. What do y'all have in common? You're figuring out a way to make your life your excuse. And you're working harder on that than you are on figuring out what your next decision is going to be. It's got to stop. So we do the circular breathing 5 times. And then we ask ourselves, now that I'm not freaking out and making this a soap opera novella, what would I do? And you act from that mindset. That's how you fix this. We don't need tricks to stop mindlessly eating. We need to stop stressing out over bullshit to begin with. That triggers us to eat because the stressful talk that we have about our life, we cope with food. So we remove that part. We remove the thinking that's extra. Nobody gets an award for being extra around here, except for me. I get the award for being extra. Let's just all admit that I am. I am new. My thought is, it's my fault I'm fat, which leads me down an unhelpful spiral of baby thoughts. Can you help me with this thought? I think this old shitty is one of my core beliefs that is really affecting my relationship with myself and my weight loss, and I don't know how to change it. All right, so on this one, it is your fault. The problem isn't really that thought. The problem with it's my fault is you have thoughts underneath that are more like, it's my fault because I'm so blah, I'm so blah, I am blah. That's the thoughts that we really want to uncover. So what I would do is I would make a list of those thoughts, and then you will run them through your think, feel, do cycles once you get through module 2. So it's a really good exercise. Here's the key, though. You're going to make a list of some thoughts that will be real easy for you to be like, I don't love those. Those are terrible. You will go to beating yourself up over those thoughts, or you will want to judge those thoughts, make them bad, make them all the things. There's nothing wrong with those thoughts. They're literally the sentences that are running in the background that don't feel good. And they are a learned interpretation over the years that you have come up with about your weight. All we want to do is unwind the interpretations, and we want to start thinking in a new way. We want to start challenging them. Is this true? What else could be true? Those are two really good questions. So the other thing I wanted to tell you guys is when we think about it's my fault, I also want you to think about how that could be a good thing. For a lot of you, the reason why it's my fault feels so bad isn't because of that sentence. It's my fault has a parenthesis of because I am so, blah, blah, blah. It's the judgments that come after it. But when it comes to our weight, if we know that we did it for ourselves, and we did it in a like, and you don't sit there and beat yourself up over it, but it's like, I know that I'm the one that ate the food. I know that I'm the one that caused the weight gain. What it does is it releases you from blaming other people and wasting time there, thinking, I should have been raised better. My mama should have. My daddy shouldn't have said these things. If the kids hadn't, my partner should support me more. If only my kids didn't need these foods in the house. When you really take ownership of this is where we're at, it's all on me. That also frees you up to say, not only is it all on me, but that's good because I don't have to change anybody else in order to change me. The easiest job you'll ever have is changing yourself. And most of us were like trade that in for going out and trying to change everybody else first, thinking that that will make their life easier. When you just decide to like focus on you, that's what makes your life easier. So for some of us, I think sometimes thinking like, I weigh what I weigh today is my responsibility, and it's only because I've been eating more than I need. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to learn how to eat what I actually need physically, and I'm going to learn how to care for myself like a boss emotionally. It's no more exciting than that. It's that boring. And we want to do that. And we want to make sure that we understand that part. There's nothing wrong with taking the responsibility for being here. I always tell myself, no matter where I'm at in life, I did the best I could. Just did the best I could in that moment. For a lot of you, you're here because no one's bothered to teach you how to look at your thinking. No one's bothered to teach you that you don't have to beat yourself up for being overweight. Like, no one tells us that it's okay that our bodies are our own and that we get to think any way we want to think about ourselves simply because we don't even need a good reason. But that is why you're here, to learn these skills. And when you really learn the skills that you change your mind, you change your thinking, you change your perspectives for your own benefit, no one else is going to feel better because of how you think internally. But you do. However you want to start looking at the world, whatever grievances you want to start letting go of, blame, resentment, fears, regrets, all that stuff, we will teach you. The more you get into No BS, once you get through the No BS course, there are the next level learnings waiting for you to help you release the real shit that you've been eating over. Last question. I am new. I am listening to module 3. Somebody is a little firecracker. I'm listening to module 3 of the No BS course, and the motivational triad is mentioned multiple times. I would love some more information on this. I'm working on my overeating. First thing I would suggest is I would Google the motivational triad. There are a million and one good articles. I will tell you, I love Psychology Today. That is a website I love getting information from, mainly because I find that their articles are easy to read. Like, they take really good psychological concepts and they break them down in easy ways to understand. What is another one? I think it's positivepsychology.com. I think that's the other one I like to read. I can't remember, but I know Psychology Today is one that I use a lot. But the motivational triad is basically where you'll learn about in module 2, the habit brain versus the conscious brain. So we've got the habit brain in the back, who does 95% of our thinking. Everything is on the subconscious level. It's there to make like as much of our thinking run on autopilot as possible, because the other 5% of the time, our reasoning conscious brain is doing the work. It requires so much physical energy that the brain is broken down in those two ways for the very good reason. If you were to unleash the conscious brain more, it would probably fry your body. It's like your body metabolically could not keep up with it. So that's why so much of our brain is wired for habit. Well, in order to get your brain to want to put things in there to make them habit, it's got to make it sexy. That's the easiest way for the brain to be like, this one right here, put that on habit, put that on habit. The motivational triad, and I'm going to tell you right now, there are probably doctors in here, psychologists, psychiatrists, we have all the people. And they're probably like, Kryn, you and your common sense way of describing things. I never pretend to be the most educated person in the room, but I am for sure the one that will run her mouth. So if you want like a real, this is Kryn's interpretation of it. All right, so you got it in your habit brain. There's three things that the motivational triad works on. One, it wants all the pleasure. It's like, I want to feel good. This is why, we needed pleasure back in the day. We needed to have sex to keep the race going. Well, this is why sex is pleasurable, so that, you know, you make some babies and stuff. So pleasure, the motivational triad also in the habit brain, it wants to avoid pain at all costs. Think about it in our caveman days. We wanted to avoid pain. This is why we didn't just like jump into the fire pit and do things. You wanted to figure out how to go through life with as little pain as possible. And then the last part is, and wants things to be easy. The brain is always trying to figure out the easiest way to hack something. So if something seems easy, it's going to keep doing it. So the trifecta is the brain's always like, does it feel good? Is it easy? And does it cause me no pain? Any of that stuff, it's just like, hell yeah, hallelujah, put it in the back of the brain. The problem is we don't live in a cave anymore. There ain't no pumas darting out of the bushes after us. We're really unlikely to go out in the woods and just start eating poisonous berries. We live in the modern day. And we got pleasure everywhere. It's real easy to avoid pain watching Netflix. And the world is set up to be easy. So what we have to do is we have to work with it. One of the things that I try to get you to do is change how you think about, like a lot of you think about my plan in a way that causes you pain. It's going to be so hard. It's just like, what if I get hungry? And then you'll sit there and you'll plan a lot of unpleasurable foods on your plan and then wonder why later in the day you don't look forward to it. You ain't motivated and excited. You'll set your life up to where it won't be easy to do your plan. You're like keeping it tucked away in a box somewhere, wondering why you ain't doing it automatically every day. So what you want to do is you want to think about the motivational triad. If your brain wants to feel pleasure, you got to talk to yourself pleasurably now. You got to figure out the things that you're going to do to lose weight that you take pleasure in. You don't go on beat down cycle workouts and stuff. You actually, if you like a walk, go fucking take a walk. Yay. You figure out how to create pleasure in the process. Figure out how to make it easier. Start looking for little hacks on how can I make weight loss easy today? How can I make weight loss easy today? And that's how you set it up. So you want to think about those things. And avoiding pain, this is the self-talk. Back in the day, Avoiding pain was like, don't go walking through the briar. Today, pain comes at us emotionally all the time because we don't have real pain. I know some of you got arthritis and stuff, but I'm talking about like the general person. We're not going to suffer that much each day. We're going to suffer emotionally though because our brain is looking for suffering. It's on the lookout for that stuff. So you've got to avoid talking about the scale and your plan and all the things in a painful way. So take the motivational triad and think like, if I want pleasure and my brain wants it easy and it's trying to avoid pain, how can I make what I'm doing fit that criteria so that my brain is like, whew, this is a shit we should put in the habit center so that we're doing it easily. Like she's not even having to think about doing this shit. The other side is you want to hook up, like you want to start, like a lot of you, the reason why it's easy to eat, do all these things, because you got sexy talk. All you're talking about is how good the food tastes. It comforts me. It makes my life so much easier just to be able to go through McDonald's. Y'all talk about it and like sit there and your habit brain is like, there's no fucking way we're letting go of this. You have to flip the script. Now what you got to do is you got to start talking about all this like, it is not convenient. Like going through McDonald's saves me no time. And here's how it doesn't save me time. I'm going to spend all Sunday afternoon Googling diets. That ain't saving time. So you have to make sure that you use the motivational triad against your old bullshit behaviors and use it for the new ones you want to adopt. That's my Corinne's simple version of explaining the motivational triad. All right. That is it for Q&A today. This call will be placed in two places, exactly the same. You can either watch the video on the website underneath the video replays, or you will be able to play the audio version in your private member podcast in the live stream, in the lives. So you always get them in about 24 hours. Sometimes we turn around super fast. Just depends on who's on for the day and that kind of thing. And last but not least, please make sure you show up on Saturday morning. I am doing the Camp Swag Reveal. If you haven't noticed, there is this big, gorgeous box. If you register for camp, whether you come in person or you come virtually, everything that's in this box is included in your camp registration. It gets mailed to you, and we start mailing them next week. So you're going to want to make sure you get registered because I only order so many. And we will likely sell out. We sell out every single time. And every single time I order more and more of you come because y'all love camp. We're going to be talking about ending self-sabotage for 3 straight days. It is an intensive, immersive, and life-changing event. We only do these things twice a year. We did do one in January of this year, but that was like going forward, we're going to have a spring and fall. So don't miss out because our next one won't be until middle of October. So if you really want to work on self-sabotage, it'd be great for you to come. May 14th through the 16th, you can get more information on pnptribe.com. Log in, go to the events tab. There's a video, all the registration information, how much it costs, where we're doing it, what you should think about, who's the best fit, all that kind of stuff. Please feel free to go over there and check it out. If you have questions, make sure you ask in the Facebook group. Everybody will tell, I always rely on our members to talk about their experiences with camp. And they will tell you the God's honest truth about how, well, they'll probably tell you how great it is, but it really is. I pour my heart and soul into them. I love them. It's my favorite thing that I do in all of No BS. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.